Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And this is going to be hopefully a really interesting show dealing with metaphysics and, spirituality and other, I would say, related subjects, which includes physics itself and science in general. Tonight's show is going to be Secrets of the Universe Revealed. Yes, I'm going to try to tell you what I know that I haven't been telling you. And these are things that I think it's about time that I can. It's approximately time for some of these things that I can reveal some of the stuff that I've known for so long, but have been, well, I've been alluding to, but I haven't really expressed the correct information, because generally speaking, it's better that mundane science and other avenues be used to find out some of the things I'm going to explain. But we're really on the edge on some of this stuff, and I think that it's okay to talk about it now. So, if you are interested and you would like to call in, you can do so by calling 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. For those of you in Canada, 888-815-9756. And I'd love to hear from you while you're listening. Also, in case you want to email me, thoughts@whylifeis.com. Okay, so let me begin. I'm going to start with an interesting subject for those of you who are science-minded. Now, I know that some of you, the listeners, are and some aren't. It's okay, you know. But some of you have been listening for a while, and you are science-minded, and I'm going to reveal something that science is in a quandary about right now. It's in the field of physics, astrophysics, and it's a kind of a big deal, because for a long time, there has 10 years now, there's been a great deal of confusion and some consternation about this particular element of how what people call our universe works. And let me explain it this way. At the present time, it has been discovered that there is a lot more holding everything together than there should be in our universe. Because the universe supposedly is controlled by gravity, and gravity is supposed to keep things from spinning off away from each other, and it causes an attractive force to be developed between masses of objects that exist in space-time. The problem is that there is a lot more holding things together than there is mass to be explained for. And mass is another way of looking at energy. So you can say there's just a lot more energy running around, it looks like, than can be accounted for to cause these effects. As an example, if we look at a galaxy, say, that may be, you know, millions of light years away. It could be any. It could be a neighboring galaxy, or it could be somewhat close. And we try to see how much mass there would be by the number of stars, et cetera, in the galaxy, and the gas, and the clouds, and even the blood. They can compute somewhat how many black holes there might be in the super black hole, usually in the center. All of those things. I don't want to bore some of you with this stuff, but it comes out that that particular galaxy should not be held together as tightly as it is, and there shouldn't be something as controlling it in terms of the way it's spinning, because we can tell its rate of spin by the red shift, they call it, by the shift and change in frequency of one part of it compared to another part as it turns. These galaxies are all spinning around. And from their spin, from this spin of a galaxy, we can tell that, well, there seems to be something else there, a whole lot of something else there. As a matter of fact, there could be as much as 75 to 90% of something there that can't be explained. So about 10 years ago when this was discovered, it was actually discovered because of the expansion rate of the universe and some other factors, but that it was a very stunning event, because it meant that there was something really missing, and what they called it was called dark energy. Now, this is different than dark matter. The dark matter is this kind of been semi-accounted for. But this is an energy they claim that exists, but they can't find it. There is no sign of dark energy other than its effect. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Gravity is not the only thing that causes things to come together. But science at the present time doesn't know this because they don't realize that there's another principle completely lacking from most of physics. Most, but not all. And that thing that is lacking is the principle that energy follows thought. I'm going to say something that's really strange, greater than its own. And so if the energy just has a certain amount of thought, and you might say, well, science doesn't believe energy thinks. I know that, I know. But if the energy had thought, if that thought was less than something else that thought greater than it, the energy would follow the greater thought, okay? And gravity, in metaphysical terms, I'm kind of skipping around between science and metaphysics here, gravity in metaphysical terms is actually the thought collectively of all of the energy that is present. And the energy can be in the form of matter, or it can be in the form of pure energy. Energy and matter are convertible back and forth. A guy named Einstein figured that one out. Okay, so when you have a situation in which there is a real lot of we'll call it something that stands for gravity, attraction between galaxies, within a galaxy. Now they're seeing it between gases and galaxies. All of this is happening. The only explanation for it, and the overall expansion, increasing expansion rate of the universe, the only explanation is either there's more energy, or in metaphysical terms, there's thought that is much, much greater than the energy within an entire galaxy, or even a group of galaxies. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I wrote articles and finally wrote a book about this many years ago, explaining that this would be found to be true. And the reason it is because there's a consciousness that is invoking its own thought on both galaxies and collections of galaxies and things even within galaxies that causes these things to stay where they shouldn't be staying and be attracted to things they shouldn't be attracted to if it was just based upon the energy that's present within them. So now we have some evidence that there is this thought. And this evidence is in what has been discovered in the last 10 years. And I'm really tickled about it in a sense because it's going to prove the existence of thought and spirit, because spirit is the thought of our creator. And so it's going to break open, I think, in time with the unfortunate frustrations that many physicists presently have, because they are still looking for this thing called dark matter, dark energy, but they're not getting really any closer to it. The chances of them discovering dark energy is zero because it actually doesn't exist as dark energy. It exists as this thought. Now, you could say, well, they're just not calling it the right thing. Why don't they, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that thought is something different than energy. They're all part of our creator. Energy is part of our creator. Energy comes from intelligence that is not completely perfect in its activity, and then it manifests as energy. But it's different than thought. Thought really has two components to it. And without getting into the complications of that, it is a different thing. And so we're going to hopefully find that there's a thing called spirit. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing, because then I'm going to reveal another secret to you. Once about half of the people on planet Earth, where I hope all of you are listening to from, but maybe we've got some listeners out there that aren't on this planet, who knows. And all of us here, if we can bring our consciousness to a state where we become, we'll say, acknowledging and somewhat understanding, not completely, but somewhat understanding that we don't live in a universe that is completely, as we think it is, the dimension that we exist in. And if we further find that not only that there are other dimensions that we live beyond this dimension, but it's connected to the Creator or God, if about half of us on this planet get to that realization, we will be able to have some contact with extraterrestrials, aliens, or whatever you want to call it, on a completely normal basis, not what people call abductions or anything of the sort. Not to say that those are happening, although some people certainly believe they are, but I'm only speaking in terms of it will be a normal thing for people to know that there is life all around our universe, and that life is interconnected, and much of it, but not all of it, is in communication with some of the other life. And much of that life is intelligent life, and some of the intelligent life is way beyond our level of intelligence. We cannot have contact with this other life because one of the secrets is that you have to have a certain level of consciousness, and that level is that first, you understand multidimensionality, and that, like when you die, you go and live in consciousness in another dimension, etc. And that is also connected to the reality of there being an existence of God or Creator. And that so we're living within this greater being's creation of multidimensionality. Once about half the people on our world are open to that, they may not completely understand it, may not completely believe it, but they're open to it, and they have some possible, like, you know, the average person might say, well, I understand that that could be true, and I'm open to that idea, then we are acceptable to have some degree of contact with by those who live far, far away from us. And the reason for this is that a long time ago, when this understanding was around, it was abused and misused by earlier civilization. I'm speaking about Atlanteans. And at that particular time, because it turned out to be a bad thing for people to have a misunderstanding about it, and now it's just sort of like obscured. And now we have to earn it back by gaining a correct understanding, a loving understanding, and use it in a loving way, which means that we have to see it connected to our Creator instead of using it for more selfish purposes by understanding that we have another dimension we're going to live in, and therefore we don't have to worry about where we're living right now because what the heck, it's easier to live there. That was one of the misunderstandings, and that led to a high level of selfishness, a very serious condition that eventually destroyed that entire civilization. So to overcome that, to make sure that we do not replicate that destructive element, that information is not being given to us in a way in which we can't learn it through our own efforts and through our own understandings or consciousness. So we have to gain that rather than, I say earn it, rather than it just be doled out to us and we accept it. And that's kind of the reason why I teach the way I do, because I want people to learn about this stuff and try to test it in their own lives and check it out to see whether or not it's true, rather than to just believe something I say, because that didn't work in the past when it was tried. Belief is really not the method. You've got to come to conclusions based upon, we'll say, thought experiments and observations and looking at it, your own life and the lives of others, and seeing whether or not it's true. Now, I'm about to go on to the next part of my revelations here. And let me say this, that to begin with, to foster a movement towards us having the ability to have contact with others that aren't here but live in our neighborhood, so to speak, planetary-wise, maybe within hundreds or thousands of light years from us, I would like to give out some more information that has been somewhat revealed in some of the things I've written, but I haven't necessarily explained them to this level on the radio. And I think it would be helpful to maybe bring it to a point where new kinds of revelations will come to different people that are listening based upon their own experiences. So I want to talk about how the universe is put together beyond our little corner in it. The corner we're in, or actually it's the basement, we're in is the basement of lacking dimensionality. Now, most people say, well, dimensions, isn't that like height, width, and depth? And I would say, sure, yeah, that's our perspective of dimension. Now, height, width, and depth is really only one dimension, even though it seems like three to us. And you might say, well, what is it a dimension of then? And really what it is a dimension of is the amount of separation, extreme separation in our case, from our creator. It's a sort of a sense of being separate from and not connected directly to God or our own creator. We only have a vague sense of that if we unify some of our chakras, especially our crown and heart chakras, and get them activating, or I should say activated to the point where they're somewhat joining. Then we have a much greater sense of being part of our creator. And that's true in the physical body now. I'm talking about our physical senses. So for those of us, like all of us who are listening to me most likely, who are physically alive, we have a sense that is really illusioned in the senses of being separate and being isolated and not being directly connected to our creator. Some of us, a lot of us, have some sense that there might be or is a creator, a God. That's why religion is so universally found in almost every society, because this is part of who we are. It's what makes us human rather than us being animals. And it's because we have this heart and crown chakra in each body that helps us to understand and understand how to create more of both our own creator. It's very important that we recognize that we're not like animals and that we have this innately in us. But nonetheless, just by us taking on the burden of trying to create more of our creator in this dimension, this single dimension that we call three, of time and space, we are isolating ourselves and separating ourselves to the maximum level we can from our creator. Now, we're not as isolated as an ant is. We're not as isolated as a plant is. But we are more isolated than any other human being would be who might be living in a higher dimension of time and space. So we are in the basement right now. Now, we don't stay here when we pass on and leave this body behind. Our consciousness shifts into a body we still have, but we're not using very much right now. And that's our astral body, and we live in an astral dimension. Then in that particular case, we are much more connected because another whole dimension of time and space is added. And that extra dimension of time and space gives us the opportunity to sense so much more about our surroundings, about us and everything else, that we can see more of God in ourselves and everyone else. So we naturally become more spiritual. That's a natural consequence of giving up the body of illusion, the greatest illusion, which is physical body, where the senses keep telling us we're isolated and it's just us and we're individuals completely separated from everyone and everything. And we go on to the astral world, and people naturally tend to have a greater sense of commonality with all life that exists there. And so that is a natural process because dimensionality increases. And you might say, well, what is that dimension that's added, this astral dimension? How is it different than a dimension that just deals with the very narrow part of, the most narrow part of existence, of height, width, and depth, which is really what we call this a single dimension. And in this dimension, the best we can do if we create the most with our senses is to coordinate and organize and to cooperate with others. But we can't sense anything greater than that through our efforts here, just using our senses in our physical self. But we do have astral senses we can even use here, although people use them less often. We don't live through them most of the time. In the astral world, that's all we have is astral senses. The physical body's gone. And now we're adding another dimension that we can sense. And that dimension is, in what way is the energy that we are giving out and the energy that others are giving out in their senses and in their movements, either towards others, meaning love or giving towards them, or taking from others, and towards ourselves, which is, we'll call it an emotional feeling that is all about us. Selfish, in other words. And so this extra dimension that we live in, a dimension of the movement and speed of energy, the movement, the direction of the energy and the speed of it, whether it's towards us or away from us, and whether it is very energetic or not very energetic, we can directly sense that energy. We barely sense that energy here. Some people are better at it than others. Those are called the really empaths, the people who have really good empathic sense. Most of us are not so great because our physical senses overwhelm us while we're physically alive. But in the astral world, that doesn't happen. And so now this more subtle sense, which gives us this added dimension of time and space, allows us to live in a much more complex world where we are able to sense the energies of others, sense our own energies. We can move our senses outside of ourselves. They become super senses. We can sense things that are hundreds of miles away from us. We can even project ourselves into other parts of the same dimension, move ourselves through our own imaginative thought. We can create things with our senses, if they're strong enough, just from the surrounding energy. Amazing. So incredible things can be done because of the dimensionality change. Energy is following thought much greater, and we have this added dimension that allows us to create at a greater level than we ever could while we were physically alive. Dimensionality is a huge, important concept that is lacking in physics right now. There are people who are string theorists who say, yeah, there are dimensions, but the dimensions they create do not adequately define what they are, and they couldn't be dimensions that people could live in because of the nature of the way they're defined. So there's no real meaningful explanation from them. They don't really add anything to our understanding of the universe other than that, well, there's extra dimensions. But they don't tell us what those dimensions really mean. I'm trying to explain and reveal through my explanation something about our universe and how it really works. Okay, so we have this extra dimension in the astral world, which is something that is really important because by using our astral senses, particularly while we're there, we can gain a much greater understanding of our Creator. However, here's a caveat. We can do the same thing while we're here, provided that we spiritually discipline ourselves and live our lives in ways that is giving towards others. And we try the very best we can to do that. While we're physically alive, we can enjoy some of the same possible benefits of multidimensional living, even while we're physically alive. Those that create lives that are spiritual and that live in a spiritual way are doing a bit of that. And the process is extremely meaningful, and it helps people to develop themselves if they actually spend the energy, time, focus, and really create in their life the maximum level that they can. They will benefit tremendously, even before they go on to the astral world, in connecting themselves to their Creator and gaining so much more from living. Because you're living by the multiple of an extra dimension, which makes life far more meaningful, far more creative. Now, could you take your thought and create physical energy that would follow it? Probably not. Not unless you're really, really, really advanced as a human being, and just about probably out of the human kingdom. And then I'm not sure it would happen in every circumstance. But you could do a lot of other things that would be truly remarkable. And that's the important part about it, is that it makes us into something that's greater. It's how we can grow ourselves. And it's one of the ways that we serve in this world. The spiritual service becomes incredibly important. So I want to make sure that I'm not just teaching something that people say, oh, well, better I'd be better off dead, I'll be in the next dimension. No, no, we're here for a purpose. We all came here to try to create a better world in the basement where we are right now, where it's so difficult, so isolating, and so separative to be. So I want you to think about that, and I'm going to start with the next dimension, but I want you to understand that it's fairly complicated, so I'll just let you know the next dimension of reality has to deal with time. In other words, a lot of people say, well, isn't time the fourth dimension? No, time, or the next dimension after this one, time is actually incomplete, both in the physical world and in the astral world. It doesn't become complete until we reach the monastic or mental world. And the reason for that is that time has three parts to it. It's the past, the present, and the future. And the future has a very strange kind of, we'll say, a condition to it. And I'm going to explain that condition when we get back from break. And hopefully it'll make sense to you. It's a little complicated and difficult to understand the future part of time. But it's important to explain what time is so that we can understand how it works as a full dimension. Now, we will be back in about, I'd say 2.5 minutes or so. And so don't go away and keep thinking about what time is. And I'll be back in 2.5 minutes.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we're going to continue on now talking about time, which is the next dimension that is added. Well, just go back over this again. We have one dimension here, and that's just about the question of whether or not you can sense energy virtually at all, and whether or not it's an incomplete sense, and it allows us to be able to determine the three dimensions, we call them height, width, and depth. But that's about all we can really sense from the dimension we're in. And then we added a dimension when we go to the astral world of the direction, or some people call it phase, and the speed, or the, you know, the energy, the amount of effectiveness of energy. And we can directly sense that with our senses, and so our senses really change from that effect. And now, if we go to the monastic world, we have the element of time. Now, there is time, of course, in the physical world. There's time also in the astral world. But humans sense time most of the time through their personality, which exists in the mental world anyway. So we are always able to sense a whole part of time. Now, this is going to confuse you a little bit, but I'm going to tell you this, that most animals, unless they're pets or really close to humans, sense time really only in the past and the present. That's the astral sense of time. And the more advanced the animal is, the closer it may come to sensing the future, but it really doesn't do much of that. And that's the reason animals aren't very good at planning on a unique level events in the future. They can plan if their soul, where their self is, and their soul is in the mental world, gives them through preconceived thought called instincts, things to do for planning in the future. But in unique circumstances, the animal can't think for itself and have a plan of how it's going to live its life in the future. So animals have that lack, unless they're pets. Their pets are a unique class of animals that start learning planning from their owners, us, you know, the humans that are around them. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, we have a full sense of time, which is a mental sense of time, meaning that we not only can understand the past and not only have a sense of present, but we also have a sense of the future. And a future sense is where the ability, we have the ability for us to determine whether one event is connected to another event in logical order, that's called logic, and whether or not it supports other events that it's connected to, and that's called truth. And so we are able to determine the truth about things, and animals have a much harder time doing that, especially about anything other than the most instinctual concepts about it. So this gives us an understanding of the very basic parts of the beginning to know your own creator. And so we have both the senses that gives us some ability to understand our creator, and we have the dimensionality in terms of our thought, because our personality is in the mental world, so it has this future sense. And so we can think in concepts, and we can compare concepts and determine the truthfulness of them, the validity of them, by comparing the structure of them, one to the other. And this is very important. Now, time puts a totally different wrinkle on things, because we are creatures that live in time, even when we're physically and astrally alive, because our personality, again, is in the mental world. We are time creatures, and we actually live in some parts of the future, even though we most more of the time are living in either the past or the present, depending upon whether we're physically alive or we are in the astral world and living there. So most of us are living our lives while we're physically alive, focusing too much on the past, because the past seems to dominate us. So we have a lot of fears, a lot of concerns from what has already happened in our life. This is unfortunate because it tends to taint our already illusioned idea that we're separate, and isolated from everyone and everything else, and it gives us an even more selfish tendency, greedy tendency. Whereas those who live in the astral world, they tend to have a, in the present sense, illusion as well as some past problems, And they tend to have problems with emotions versus love. And instead of focusing their energy out towards others, they tend to want to get love or receive love rather than to give it and get anything else they might want, too. Now, of course, that happens to people while they're physically alive because we still have emotions while here. But we're dominated here by the physical realities more than we are even our emotions in comparison. So now, get to the mental world, and we have another dimension of full time, and people can actually live in this dimension. But what does that mean? Well, let me explain something. The future. Now, this is another secret revealed. I should have a little drum roll here or something going on. You know, that'd be kind of interesting. Too bad we don't have a sound effects board here. If we could put that into the show, it might make it interesting, more interesting. But if we talk about the future is a little confusing because a lot of people say, well, the future hasn't happened yet. That's kind of true. But the future is also happened in another way. And let me explain. When the Creator, God, created our universe, it created the future in a very, we'll say, broad and unfilled sense. And that is that it created a future in which the time-space for everything to exist within is its own existence. Therefore, the future is already there because the end of our journey is to experience what our God is as we are, creating ourselves into that being at that moment, and from that position of being that we are, out into a future that we can project to, and we actually experience that future if we can get to that point. The future, therefore, is an infinite number of futures that each being is ultimately going to experience. And there's a broad outline of what that future is because it started out as our God, our Creator. And it continues to be broad out there, but it's being added to by each being that reaches the point of co-creating with its Creator and adds to it. So each of us are experiencing this amazing, ongoing, growing future, and each of us can live, therefore, in it the more we experience our Creator. So the future is, we're capable of actually experiencing a future, not an ultimate the future, because it's dynamic and changing, but we're capable of experiencing it as we co-create with our Creator. Absolutely profound. Now, this is complicated, and I know that I'm going to have to go back over this because there are other dimensions that will explain this much better than what I just did. But the point is that it is important to realize that time is not a fixed thing. Time has a broad outline in terms of future. There's no determinism in that because the future is the Creator itself. We're all co-creating with that Creator and adding and changing to it. So the Creator is not defined as a determined situation. Otherwise, why do it? Just the opposite. The Creator wanted a situation where it would enjoy the benefits of life itself, which is its own growth, and have a future that constantly is growing and changing. But it still has a broad outline of a future because it knows that it are all one, and are growing together, and that frees us, once we understand that, to start becoming more and more a part of it. So that's what I'm trying to get us all to tonight. So the secret that I'm revealing is what I just said, that we are part of this, we're growing towards it, and time, by definition, gives us the answer of how come that's the case. It explains how come it's the case. Another way to look at it is that part of the future is really running backwards. Because, in effect, God starts with itself. The future is to be God. to experience the beingness of our own creator and go beyond that, by the way, from the standpoint of where we are. And, of course, the creator keeps growing from the sum total of all of its parts. We can never really catch up with that. But the point is we still experience this incredible effect. And at no time is the creator ever trampling on our experiences of creation. So there's no determinism here. I hope you are getting this. This is so hard to understand, I know. But when I finally got this, it was a long time ago, considering everything, when I finally got this, in this lifetime at least, I said, wow, that's it. That's how it works. Now, I got it through direct experiences and out-of-body stuff and other things and reading, too. But once I got it, I said, wow. So determinism versus non-determinism isn't really the issue. That's a big bunch of nonsense, and it's one of the pairs of opposites, and it's a contradiction. This is really a system that's designed to allow us to reach incredible levels of existence and not to in any way infringe upon our experience. But that also means that our creator is not necessarily going to stop us from having some bad experiences. So it's important to understand that. that ultimately, it's a double-edged sword. If you have freedom, you end up with responsibility and the possibility that things are not going to go always the way we would want them to be. But that's another issue. And that has to deal with karma and other factors that come into play. So here we are, we're in the monastic world, and we have now a total of three total dimensions, or five dimensions if we count this one as being height, width, and depth, that we're existing in. And from that perspective, we now can live at times in the future, we can live in our past, and of course we can live in the present, all available to us while we exist in the monastic world. Wow. Now, the future we live in is a future based upon who and what we are at the time and those around us and everyone we choose to interact with in that context. That future may not be what the future will be, but it's like a virtual reality that gives us some context and some close, let's say close reality to what may actually happen. And we can actually experience it, though, as though we are really there. That's possible to be done in the monastic world. That's an amazing thing. I'm sure a lot of people would say, hey, sign me up. I want to try that one. Yeah, that's where I go for that. And we also can live in our past. That's called the Akasha. And we can re-experience the past, and we can make changes in the past. It doesn't affect us in the present, but it does change reality for other people. When we change things in the past in the Akasha, it makes it easier for people, if we change it towards the better, it makes it easier for people to think in the mental world. And thinking in the mental world is what existence is all about. So it's very important we do that. That's a great thing to do. Okay, so what I'm trying to do is give us some newfound ideas that leads us away from the illusions of not understanding time, because if you don't understand time, then you don't see truth. You lose the sense of the ability to discover truth, and that is always a difficult thing, because when people can't determine truth, that's sometimes a worse illusion than the illusion of emotionality and not cooperating and sharing with other people. I mean, that could be a really terrible illusion, because those people sometimes create nightmares for themselves in their lifetime. So it's important that we can find truth, and you have to have a whole sense of time in order to be able to do that. Okay. Now, let's go on to the next dimension. Hopefully this will even open us up further. This is getting way out there. I hope that you're still following me. And let's talk about the intuitional or Buddhic dimension. There's another part of time and space we're going to add in terms of dimensionality. And that is, imagine this, that, now I'm going to use a lot of imaginings here because these are difficult areas for us to be able to model ourselves into. And most people have trouble with this once we get beyond the mental because it's not something we're familiar with. Imagine this, that you can sense what other people have in terms of knowledge. You can sense what they know, and they can sense what you know, provided that you're using the knowledge to benefit people other than yourself, and they're doing the same. Okay? That is what the dimensional element is that exists in the Buddhic or intuitional dimension. What it is this. All energy that exists in the Buddhic dimension is connected in one of three possible ways. And that one way is by the communication, direct communication, instantaneous, taking no time at all, communication of all knowledge of what each piece of energy has of its existence. So our senses are communicating with the senses of everyone else that is at or above our level of existence. They are picking up from us, and we're able to pick it up at everyone at or below our existence who is around us. So we are able to sense the senses of others and get their information and turn it into knowledge. And this is done in no time at all. So it's, and some people call it intuition, but it's not the, like I got a little thought in my head, intuition. It's like hours of thought condensed in a single split second. It's called controlled intuition because the person is able to direct what knowledge they need in order to be of service at that moment. It's incredible. And it produces a state of beauty. You might say, why beauty? Well, it produces a state of beauty because, unlike mental, the virtue that's created in the mental world is truth, which is what I talked about a few minutes ago. This is a virtue that is created by one sense having an effect on other senses. So it can't exist below the Buddhic realm. And so when something is truly beautiful, it enlightens us by just its existence and produces some enlightenment in our sense because of its existence having been created or is a sense of something that is a Buddhic dimension. So and it's instantaneous. The effect is instantaneous. It takes no time at all to happen. And it opens us up to new knowledge, too. So the incredible part about this is that in the Buddhic dimension, by adding another factor to the time and space we're existing in, we become much more connected to everyone and everything around us. And beauty becomes our experience in life. Direct beauty. Everything we are able to sense the beauty of anything and everything that is around us. That's all hidden from us while most of us are living physically in this world because of the great illusions. So we miss most of the beauty that is around us. But in this Buddhic dimension, it's completely unhidden, and so you have a sense of extreme joy or bliss, which is amazing, because that sense is something that most people have never experienced, a sense of bliss. And that's what comes from this added dimension. I hope you're beginning to understand what's happening here. As we dimensionally raise our consciousness, we are getting closer and closer to the real part of what existence is about, which is our own creator. We are starting to experience some of that creator in ourselves, and beauty and intuition comes with the whole program. And we are involved in it and co-creators to that program. Okay. So you might say, wow, this is really getting far out there, yeah. Well, we'll go into another dimension, It'll be my last one here because I don't have much time. And I won't be able to finish this. And that is the spiritual, or some people call it atmic dimension. And that's above or larger than, greater than, it has another dimension to it than the Buddhic dimension. And in that dimension, we're adding another dimension to time and space. And this dimension allows us to change the energy around us at will into another form. Energy is changeable into anything that we seek it to be, and that makes us omnipotent, all-powerful, some people would say, because we could change energy into anything, including matter, and back again. And in this dimension, you become a new creator of new life, literally new life itself. Now, I can't go any further than that, and I'll have to explain a lot more about this in the next show, because I'm going to take what I've taught so far in this show, and I'm going to go into the next show and reveal some other things with the information from this show, and et cetera. So that'll be next week. But we're running out of time. Yeah, that happens pretty quick. And so let me tell you that on Sunday, May 18th, I'm going to be, well, it won't be me. Yeah, it will be me. I'll be teaching on 1170 a.m. in Boston on the radio. So if you're anywhere in the northeastern part of the U.S., you should be able to get it. And it's wdisam.com if you want to get it on the Internet. And I'll be speaking on Life on Other Worlds, Part 1, and that's 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So tune into that, because you can listen in about life on other worlds. And, of course, we can contact that life if we do the things I said in today's show. For those of you who are interested, the Waysak, which is the full moon in Taurus, it's a spiritual holiday, is taking place on May 19th, 7:12 p.m. Pacific Daylight Saving Time. Okay? And one last thing, I got a lot of clearing to do here. On May 19th, which is the Waysak again, and it will be at 7 p.m., how do you like that? One of the members of the spiritual group I'm a member of will be teaching over Borders, Books, and Music on reincarnation. And I guess she'll probably say something about the Waysak washes there as well. And that's from 7 to 8:15 p.m. at Mesa Fiesta Borders. That's in Mesa. So if you happen to live in the Phoenix metropolitan area and you live on the east side, get out to Mesa and hear her speak. Her name is Mimi, and she'll be talking about reincarnation. Okay, so next week, what we're going to be dealing with is more about how the universe is put together, and as I explain that, revealing more things that have been kept secret, by me at least, and how they all fit together. I'll try to bring it together more next week, and hopefully the people who missed it this week will hear it by going to one of the websites and listening to it. So hopefully this has been an interesting show. I know it's hard. It's very hard to understand some of these more esoteric subjects because we're talking about things that are beyond our own experiences in some cases. A lot of people say, well, wow, I don't know what bliss is because I don't know what it's like to be in, because, yeah, I know that's really hard, but I want to open you to these ideas because once you learn about these secrets, as much as I can tell you, then you can start saying, well, there's more to this whole thing than I had ever thought before. I hope that's what we're going to get out of tonight's show. Okay, so this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is, and I'll hope to hear from you, and I'll be speaking to you again next week.